Good morning. Welcome to the Tuesday morning devotion and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. This week we're looking at the words of Jesus from the cross and using that as our prayer focus, devotion focus each day. And today we're looking at the words that Jesus says, you will be with me. Sometimes people kind of get hung up on this and create a huge debate. But I want to look at it from probably a little different side. Luke 23:43, Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. And a response to one of those hanging beside Jesus who seemed to be a bit remorseful as the those hanging on either side of Jesus. One mocked him. Insulted him, and the other kind of took responsibility, stating that they were there because of what they had done. Jesus was not, and asked Jesus to remember him when Jesus came into his kingdom. And this is the response of Jesus: today you will be with me in paradise. Now, there are those that will kind of form a salvation theology out of that encounter and, in essence, claim that there's nothing on our part that's required. And the incredible part is God offers salvation to those who call out to him. His expectation is obedience. Jesus made it clear throughout his word that if you love him, you'll obey his commands. There are others that take this and Jesus stating that this man would be with him in paradise. Kind of would say Jesus changed the subject. That his kingdom and paradise aren't the same thing, and I don't really want to get into that debate either. Jesus, I believe, offered comfort and hope to this man who called out to Jesus in his time of need. And that's not only what Jesus is about, that's what representing Jesus ought to be about. Having a good understanding of the Bible, a proper theology, is good. But caring for people is necessary. And when people cry out in the midst of their suffering, in the midst of even suffering that they brought upon themselves, as this man admitted to, if we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to offer hope and comfort. Point them towards, for us, point them towards Jesus. This man had already looked at Jesus and knew that he was no ordinary man. But I think there's also another level that when I hear those words, you will be with me, I think of the words of the Great Commission as Jesus introduces the command to make disciples of all nations as we go into the world, to baptize them, to teach them everything that Jesus commanded. And he gives that promise in kind of reverse, not that we will be with him today, but that he will be with us. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." To realize that through God's Spirit living within us, God's presence is with us. And we can live in a different way. We can live in a way of righteousness. I believe Jesus asks of every one of us a complete surrender. And for some, that probably looks a little different than it does for others because we have different things to surrender. If you're hanging on a cross, your ability to surrender to Jesus might be a bit limited. If you define that in a specific means, if you compare it to anyone else. But in reality, his ability to surrender is identical to yours and mine. It's an admission that Jesus is the Son of God and we need him. That he is the only way. Jesus made it plain that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That no one comes to the Father except through him. And so we look at his word. We see the way Jesus lived, the way that he taught. We follow his instructions. We look at the patterns of people coming to Christ. Being led there and taught by those who were taught by Jesus. By those apostles who learned from Jesus. And we seek to follow their example in helping people come to Christ, to be saved, to know with complete assurance. You know, God is God. He decides who is with him. He sets the rules. He determines, because he can see the heart, the genuineness of our approach to him. It's one of those things that I always chuckle at a little bit in Scripture as I'm reading the accounts of Jesus dealing with people. And so many times you'll read about so-and-so thought this. And then the next verse will say, Jesus answered him. Well, he didn't ask a question. He just thought something. But that's Jesus. And it kind of baffles me that people spend enormous amounts of energy trying to figure out what they can get away with not doing and still be saved. Or what they can get away with doing that they shouldn't do and still be saved. It's like we might want the least effort possible. But we want to cover our bases. But what happens if we're simply obedient to God? See, I don't understand it, but God says, so I'll do it. I don't understand it, but God says not to, so I won't do it. You see, in those ways we cry out to God, remember me when you enter your kingdom. And when we love God with a love that obeys everything that he commanded, to the very best of our ability? I think his answer is exactly the same. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Not that our life here necessarily ends, but the teaching of Jesus indicates that the kingdom of God has arrived. Now, we're kind of living on an outpost. An outpost that he says will be destroyed with fire. But we still are, at least ought to be, living as kingdom citizens. As those who belong to Jesus. As those who have Jesus with them. As those who are walking with Jesus. I shared this numerous times in different places. My favorite character in the Bible, from as far back as I can remember having a favorite Bible character, is Enoch. I know, not the one that most people come to mind for most people. We don't know very much about him at all. A few short lines, but we read about him in the line of the ancestry leading up to Noah. And in the middle of all of these people who are living a lot of years, Enoch lived like 365 years. And we think, well, that's a lot of years. Well, not compared to those around him who were living 600, 700 years, 800 years. But it says that Enoch walked with God. And one day he was not, because God took him. His walk with God was so tight, so close here on earth, that he just one day walked with God right into his kingdom. I believe Enoch knew that God was with him and that he was with God, whether he was on earth or when he reached that kingdom. What would happen in your life and in my life, but more importantly, what would happen in the lives of those around us, is if we lived today with those words of Jesus, "You will be with me," ringing in our mind? If we believed that, for all those who cry out to him, if we were more deliberate in sharing Jesus in those times of despair, and sharing hope, and sharing the full counsel of Scripture, in doing what Jesus said in Matthew, in what we call the Great Commission, and in teaching them to obey everything he commanded, to baptize them, to help them know that they too can be with Jesus. You see, this man on the cross recognized at some point that his sin put him there. And he also recognized at some point that Jesus was there for a completely different reason. And as we approach Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, and it's good to remember that the reason we can avoid cross as punishment is that Jesus took that cross. Now, granted, Jesus told us to take up our cross and follow him. In other words, to be crucified with Christ, as Paul would put it. To die to self, to be risen, to walk a new life. But to hear Jesus say, "You will be with me." Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love calls us to yourself. Your love gives us hope that we're called to share with others. Father, may we be genuine in calling out to you, asking to be remembered. May we gaze deeply into your word and understand what love for you looks like, and that it looks like obedience. May we surrender fully from all of our pride, from all of the things that keep us from doing everything that you commanded. And while we grow in that and we learn more and more each time that we gaze into your word of what that really looks like, may we not become so entrenched in our own understanding that we refuse to learn from your word. Father, for those around us who are struggling, who are hurting, who suffer greatly, regardless of whether it's of their own doing, the consequences of their actions as this man on the cross, or whether it's stuff that's just happened to them as an innocent party, as much as we could be innocent. When they cry out, may we help them to see the hope that's found in Jesus. May we be those representatives that carry the message of the good news of Jesus to those who are dying, to those who need hope, to those who want to be remembered, to those who recognize the trouble they're in and even recognize their part in causing that trouble. Father, we've all been there. We've all been in great trouble with you because of sin. May we never forget our need to cry out to you. But also may we never forget your response that not only will we be with you, but you will be with us. Father, help us to be accurate according to your word, but also help us to love people with grace and kindness and mercy. And may we help people see Jesus as he lives in us. And as we lift him up, may many be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been the Tuesday morning devotion and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.